Welcome to the Tanakh Podcast. Today, Shoftim Chapter 10. Today we look at Chapter 10, and Chapter 10 opens with two Shoftim who seem rather unusual. We get very, very little information about them. We have Tola ben Pua, who is a shofet for 23 years. And that's pretty much all we know about him. It says he came to Loshia et Yisrael, but we have no details. And then we have Yair HaGiladi for 22 years. So Tola was 23 years, Yair is 22 years. And an interesting detail, he has 30 sons riding on 30 donkeys with 30 cities. Lovely pun, by the way. Shloshim banim rochvim al shloshim ayarim u'shloshim ayarim lahem. And those were called the farms of Yair. Do we need to know all of this? So it's interesting that we've just gone down from Shoftim, who always are in multiples of 40. We had Otniel 40, Ehud for 80, Devorah for 40, and Gidon for 40 years. And now we're down to 23 and 22. If you go to chapter 12, you will see that in chapter 12, we hear about Yiftach, who was a shofet for only 6 years. Then we hear about somebody called Ivtzan from Beit Lechem, who once again has 30 sons and 30 daughters. And he's 7 years. And then Elon Zvulani, 10 years, and Hillel HaParotini, who has 40 sons and 30 grandsons riding on 70 donkeys, and 8 years. Notice that the years are going down from multiples of 40 to 22 and 23 to 6, 8, 10 years. In other words, we feel a sense of a decline. The extent of the influence of a shofet is declining from somewhere in the 40s to somewhere in the 20s to somewhere in single digits. We're also seeing a second phenomenon, and that is, whereas so many of the shoftim we've seen until now, Otniel, Ehud, Devorah, Gidon, have actually been war leaders, ad hoc war leaders, suddenly we're coming across a different type of leadership. So if you have Yair HaGiladi, who controls a whole set of cities called Chavot Yair, and his 30 sons are riding on 30 donkeys with 30 cities, and if we have other people who have, you know, 70 descendants with 70 donkeys, we're seeing a sort of proto-government come out, some sort of emergence of a more extensive peacetime administration. Are people sort of discovering that they need to have some sort of administration, some sort of bureaucracy in place in order to manage the affairs of the Jewish people? So on the one hand, we've got a different type of mechanism of shofet developing between the lines in these sort of small lines, these one-liners. Notice, by the way, also all of these one-line shoftim each come from different parts of the country. So Tola is from Yisachar, and Yair is from the Gilad, from the Transjordan. And we have Elon from Zvulun, and Avdon from Eretz Ephraim. In other words, all of the tribes are going to be represented. Whichever way, on the one hand, the decline of the Sefer, on the other hand, a different model of leadership. And this really takes us into the heart of Perek Yud, where we read, Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael lasot tara b'nei Hashem. The people continue to do evil, and until now, the evil they've done is the idolatry of the Baal and Asherah. But now it says, not only do they do Baal and Asherah, the gods of Canaan, but they serve Elohei Aram and Elohei Tzidon, and Elohei Moav, and Elohei Bnei Amon, and Elohei Plishtim. They're serving the entire United Nations of gods. And worse than that, V'yazvu et Hashem v'lo abaduhu. They don't even serve God. If they served God alongside all of those, then maybe. But they're not serving Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And at this point, Vayicharef Hashem bi Yisrael v'im korein biyad plishtim uviyad b'nei Amon. God got furious and he gave them over to both the Philistines and the Ammonites. Now, why are both of these mentioned? We're going to see that the Philistines is going to be the story of Samson, Shimshon, and B'nai Amon is going to be the story of Yiftach. And in fact, chapter 10 is a hiatus here. It's a hiatus which takes us into a new stage in the book of Shoftim, where first of all, Shoftim are serving less time, but we're now going to enter into the two most problematic of the Shoftim, Yiftach with his terrible vow and his civil war, and of course, Shimshon, who's very controversial. And this is the introduction to those. In fact, we're already hearing about it because we hear about Shmona Esrei Shana, 18 years that B'nai Yisrael in the Transjordan serve the Ammonites. So this is, on the one hand, the introduction to the Yiftach story. But, and we see there, by the way, that B'nai Amon even crossed the Jordan to fight Yehudah and Binyamin and Ephraim. And at this point, things are so bad that we hear, Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem le'mor, chatanu lach, we've sinned. They actually, for the first time, actually admit they did something wrong. And God says, I saved you from Egypt, I saved you from the Emory, I saved you from the Ammon, and the Plishtim, and the Sidonim, and you've abandoned me, right? If you want, you go cry out to those gods who you've chosen. They'll save you. And at this point they say, no, chatanu, we sinned, and in verse 16, Vayasiru et Elohei hanichar mikirbam, they actually remove their idolatry. Vayavdu et Hashem, and they start worshipping God. However, the end of the verse there, the end of verse 16 says, Vatiksar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. God had enough. Now, by the way, it's not clear how to read that verse. Either it's Vatiksar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael, God has had enough of Israel's antics. How long are the Jewish people going to be playing games with God? Or possibly, God shows mercy again. Vatiksar nafsho ba'amal Yisrael. God comes out with mercy because of the suffering of Israel. Whichever way, I think we all get the feeling as we read these psukim in Perek Yud that there is a major deterioration. And here I want to turn to a Gemara, a passage in the Talmud, in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chafhei. Chafhei Amud Bet. There, the Talmud relates to a verse in Shmuel who, in the same breath, talks about Moshe and Aharon and Shmuel with a set of people who he lists as Yiftach, Bedan, and Yerubal. And the Talmud there says that Shakal Shlosha Kalei Olam Shlosha Chamorei Olam, that Shmuel has equated three of the most flimsy, light leaders with three of the most heavy, serious leaders. And what's this meant to tell us? That Yerubal, Gid'on in his generation, is like Moshe in his generation. Bedan bedoro, Aaron bedoro. Yiftach bedoro, Kishmuel bedoro. In other words, Lelamedcha sh'afilu kal shebekalim v'nitmane paras la'tzibur. Even the most light leaders, the most problematic leaders, if they are the leader of the community, he is like the greatest of the great. And one of the principles here is that your leader, if you want, is in ratio, in proportion to your generation. A great generation get a great leader, and a very, very low generation get a very low leader. And in fact, that's exactly what's happening here. The people, there's a spiral downwards. Not only are the Shoftim going from 40 years to 20 years to single digits, but the people are getting worse and worse. Before they were just worshipping the Baal and Asherah, and now they're worshipping the United Nations of gods. And as a result, we are starting to get leaders who are more and more problematic. We're going to shortly get into the stories of Yiftach and, of course, Shimshon. And we're going to see that these people are phenomenally problematic because, of course, you get the leader you deserve. The leader is in proportion to the generation who it serves. And a great generation get a great leader, but a very problematic generation are going to get problematic leaders. And this chapter 10 is the introduction to all of the next segment of Sefer Shoftim. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.